born an athlete, you'll die an athlete. It's in your DNA.
Welcome, athletes, into the gym closet. We have another great episode today. We got a little bit of a shorter episode today because Jordan is not able to make it, so we're going to cut back on the segments a little bit. I do have a couple things that we have to go over today pertaining to Crave and pertaining to our athletes. If this is your first time joining us, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the movement. First off, we are a Crave Gym podcast, giving all of our athletes a deeper look into what we do at Crave Gym. In doing so, our motto is live like an athlete. It's in your DNA, and we give tips, we give advice. We basically show everybody how to live like an athlete in their daily lives, in the gym. Everything that we do like an athlete. And so that's the movement. Welcome to the movement. And, you know, this information that we give out is just different ways to push your life to the next level and continue to live like an athlete. So thank you guys for stopping in. Starting today, the first thing I wanted to go over is, well, I guess Jordan couldn't join us today. He has car issues, so his car's in the shop. He could not get here physically to the gym closets. But yeah, he could not join us here, so this will be a shorter episode without his segments and stuff. I do want to call you out, Jordan. You know, my car is also in the shop.
Same.
Zach's car is also in the shop. So all three of our cars are in the shop. We just made this a priority and got our asses there. So just a little heads up, you know, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to compete? That's really the ultimate question that you have to ask yourself in these situations. But for everybody else, thank you for joining us. We have one thing that I want to start by going over is drive. And if you remember, a couple weeks ago we talked about motivation, and in motivation, you know, we had four different types of motivation. All of those are great, and we went over all that. If you missed that conversation, jump back a couple of episodes. We have motivation talk in our previous episode. But motivation is temporary, and no matter what, you're not always motivated. So one of the biggest things that people ask me when I'm motivated, or how Tyler, how do you stay motivated, or are you motivated every single day? One of my initial answers is always, I'm not always motivated. I just know that I have to do something. I have the discipline to do something. And then what I want to do today is I want to put a name to that discipline. I want to make sure that everybody knows why that discipline is there. And the reason for all of that is drive. And drive is related to motivation, but it's a little bit deeper. It's longer lasting. It's basically the reason for your motivation. So someone that's motivated a lot of the time probably has drive, and probably has different things. I'll go over. There's basically four different ways to drive. But out of conscious coaching is a book that basically goes over not the X's and O's of and it's by Brett Bartholomew. A great book. I would definitely suggest it for any coach out there. It's not necessarily a book that is talking about like the X's and O's of coaching, but it's talking about consciously coaching and coaching the person and the mind and all of that kind of stuff, and paying attention to your athletes on a deeper level. And so in this book, it's basically, there's the concept of drive was established by Paul Lawrence, and I'm going to butcher this name, Nitin Noria. They're professors of organizational behavior at Harvard Business School. And they basically started what is called the four drive theory of human nature. And so there's four things. Drive is literally in your DNA. So what drives you is in your DNA, just like being an athlete is in your DNA. And so all of these are really related to what we do, and the movement that we're creating is this drive that's in your DNA is very similar to what we talk about when you're an athlete, right? You have this drive that's established in your being. But there's four different, in the theory of drive, there's four different things. And so one is the drive to learn. And so this is talking, if you missed our motivation, go back to it, listen to our motivation talk right now and then come back to us. But this is the intrinsic motivation, right? So I'm motivated because I have the drive to learn. I have the internal drive to learn something. Nobody's telling me I have to read this book. Nobody's telling me that my business needs to grow in this way, or I need to take business courses or whatever. I just have that drive to learn. That's what it is. And that's also, you know, that also reflects in athletes. You have the drive to learn about what, you know, what it is in your life that you are passionate about. Number two is the drive to bond. And so this is kind of the tribe atmosphere, the team atmosphere that we create at Crave really talks to the drive to bond. You want to bond with your teammates. You want to be in a friend group. You want to have people around you with common interests. And so that's our team. And as athletes, we very easily get along with other athletes. And that's because we have the same, drive. And part of that is bonding. And so the third part is the drive to acquire. Right. So the drive to acquire is somebody that collects things, somebody that, you know, you want all the first place medals at every Spartan race. You want your name on every single one of our monthly trophies that we have for our championships. Every season you want to be on the wall. You know, those every single challenge every week, you want that band that, you know, you're acquiring these trophies and these. I'm asking vocabulary from Zach Downs. So that's that. I need Jordan here to kind of give me those words. But no, you're acquiring these things that that's the drive you want, right? So you stay motivated because you want all of the trophies. You stay motivated to train day in and day out because you want all of our baller bands for winning challenges. You want to be on the trophy. You want all of those things, and that's acquiring something. And then drive to defend. And so that can be, you know, defending your family. That can be defending your honor. You know, that can be defending your place on the trophy. You know,
it
you
want to be defending your ego,
right? Yeah, and, it can be and that's why people can continue to lift and, exactly. and compete. And but that it, all of that kind of stuff is those four things: the drive to learn, drive to bond, drive to acquire, and drive to defend is what Lawrence and Noria. That's their four drive theory of human nature. And that kind of, boils drive down. And so when I talk about, when people ask me or ask any of our coaches, you know, like, how do you stay motivated to do ever, you know, to work out week over week and season after season. And the reason that you can do that is it's not because you're motivated all the time. It's because you have a deeper drive, and that deeper drive makes it easier to be motivated more of the time. You know,
what do you think your top two are out of those four?
To me, I think drive to learn.
I would say that's definitely one of my two.
And I would say the number two for me is drive to acquire. Like, not necessarily, I don't know. So drive to acquire is interesting. So I take pride in helping other people and helping lives, right? And so, like, for me, drive to acquire is just driving the number of people that I've helped up, right? So that means if we open up a new franchise, right, we can have 250 plus members at a new franchise that we're now helping that we weren't helping before. Mm-hmm. So that's my drive to open up new locations, to do more things like that. And this movement in general, just talking to our, you know, the athletes that may not even be in our local Craves, but to anywhere that want to train like athletes and live like athletes, this is because why?
Because we're an athlete.
Because we're athletes, right? So just talking to them, that's my drive to acquire, is I'm acquiring, you know, people that I've helped, right? And I think that's one of my personal drive to acquire, and you know, it's funny when you when I look at it that way, I just appreciate so much of being able to continue to learn and those type of things. But then I think, I mean, I still have defend and bond, you know, in my drive. I still have the drive to bond because I love the team atmosphere here and I love being around everybody, you know, and I still have the drive to defend because I still have an ego that I want to outperform everybody in here, you know? So that's why I drive, that's my drive to my training and stuff.
I would definitely say all four. I mean, for sure. But looking at the two, I think the two that drive me personally a lot would be the drive to learn. I mean, there's just, especially being in the fitness industry, the drive, you have to have that drive to learn.
Right.
Otherwise you're not going to be successful.
Definitely.
I mean, that's it at its core. And then the drive to bond. I mean, my whole life through since like Little League, you know, just that team camaraderie, the feeling of bonding with people, and from, you know, from super close bonding and being on a team for 4 years to meeting someone and bonding them with after a week being a member and being an athlete, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It's just that that relationship and building that with people, it changes lives. I mean, it's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I love about this job is just the drive to bond. So
definitely, you know, this week, take actionable steps. See what one of those four things is, your personal drive. And once you know what your drive is, it's really easy to be to recognize where your motivation comes from. Oh, I'm motivated to wake up in the morning and I'm motivated to listen to an extra podcast or listen to or read an extra blog or read an extra peer-reviewed article, whatever the case might be. That's your drive to learn, like that you want to learn about something. What's your passion? And that passion is most likely going to take you to one of these different areas. And when you identify that, then you can say, okay, that's why I can be motivated to do these type of things. And just knowing those things really helps, I think, in the long run.
It's funny when you said you were asking, like people ask you, hey, what do you do to stay motivated? And the first thing that popped into my mind was that, like I said, the drive to bond. It's like, my biggest motivator is literally you, Dan, I mean, Dylan, members, like, they're just, you know, if you're not lifting or you're not lifting hard, they give you shit. And that's that bonding. And it's like, if you saying, did you do your shoulder warmups? You know, just the small things, all that is just come through bonding. And that is what keeps me doing what I do.
And that's the best thing about living like an athlete is having that team, you know, and that's what we all grew up with, you know, no matter, even if you're in an individual sport like wrestling, you still have your team, you know, you practice with your team, you do all of that with your team. So,
go through hell together. Shit.
Definitely. Yeah. So the second thing I want to kind of cover is something that we do at Crave. We train three times a week. And the reason that we train three, I get this question quite a bit here. You know, why are you only training three times a week? And I will,
because you're an athlete.
Because you're an athlete.
That's why.
The number one reason is athletes train, right? We don't work out. You should be active every single day. And I'm not saying don't be active every single day. Just like practice though, practice most of the time was not an intense workout. Like you, depending on what sports you're in, obviously, but like if I go to football practice, a lot of that isn't, I mean, it's an hour to 2 hours of at least 80, 90% of it is literally standing around, listening, learning, doing that kind of stuff. So that's not a workout, right? But that's still being active when you're in your sport.
I was going to say, when I got to college, especially from high school, practices, I mean, it was crazy. Conditioning was super hard after, but it's because we literally didn't condition or anything. Like we walked through stuff, we talked, we went, it wasn't a,
it was a
taxing
workout.
Yeah,
it was learning. And that's because you get your taxing workout, you get your strength and conditioning from your strength and conditioning coach. And guess how many times you met with them?
2 to 3 times a week.
2 to 3 times a week. Depending on where you were on your seasons. And that's why we do what we do.
Were we training more in off season when we were trying to grow as much as possible, get as strong as possible? No. We were still going 3 times a week.
Right. Yeah. You didn't, you know, some programs maybe go 4 times a week, but that's in a time where you're not active.
And
outside
that fourth
of training.
Time I would argue that it's not even necessarily a full training session.
Yeah.
You're going to be maybe doing some plyos and some speed work on that day.
Right.
Specifically, but you're not fully getting, like you said, your strength training, your plyos, your agility, like we do here.
And so when you come to Crave, when you do a training session, you are getting agility, endurance, striking, and strength. And most importantly, I mean, they're all very important, but another reason why we do 3 training sessions a week is because the volume of lifting that we get compared to any other team program, you're getting just like a college or pro athlete. You're getting so much volume in a day, you have to recover. Like the volume of lifting that you're getting, your muscles cannot do that day in and day out. And if they can, you're not lifting enough. You're not actually doing the program to your, if you're not going 100%, and 100% doesn't mean you're lifting your max out every day. But inside of our rep ranges, when we periodize this program, you need to do, 8 to 10 reps. Then guess what? You need to do as heavy as you can. And if I get 10 reps, it's time to add weight until I get 9. Add some more weight, then I got 8. That's my goal, is to get the low range so I can only get the low range of that rep range. And so that's the biggest part of our lifting portion, is you have to recover. You have to take a break, because you are breaking your body down so much in these team sessions that if you're not recovering, then you risk injury.
Yeah, like it's not good for you.
Right.
It's hurting you.
Yeah, you don't.
So why would you come train so hard to hurt yourself?
Right.
In the long run.
And that's the crazy thing, is we do it for recovery from 2 different reasons, is longevity and injury prevention. So you can do this program and this is periodized into seasons for a reason. So you can go and go and go and continue this for your foreseeable future. I mean, you can do it your entire life. And that's the biggest thing about living like an athlete, is you are an athlete your entire life. And so this is a big part of that injury prevention and longevity. And the other thing that I love about it, right, is 3 times a week, it fits into your busy ass life schedule. Like most of our athletes here are ex-athletes that are young professionals that have, 40 plus, they're new in their career, so maybe they're working 50, 60 hours trying to build their way up. And when you're doing that, you're getting beat down. You don't have time to live an hour and a half in the gym every single day, But on top of what we want, you want to be active, right? So that also allows you to do a sand volleyball night on 1 time a week, and stay in your softball leagues and do athletic stuff outside of just being buried in the gym every single day. And so that's a kind of a short form. There's a lot of science behind what we do. I'm not going to dive too much into that, but that's kind of the bullet points of why we do what we do with training 3 times a week. And guess what? If it's the winter and you're not in a community basketball league or something, so you're not staying active on your active rest days outside of our 3 training days, then you have 24-hour access. So you can come in, do some light work, do some light jog. If you have, just get loosened up. What I like to do is I'll do at least every weekend, I'll do a little bit of ballistic training. So it's like flipping the tire, doing the sledgehammer, something like that. And then just mobility training. I'll make sure that I'm, really, really warmed up before I do any of that training. But then I'm doing extra mobility work. I'm rolling out. I'm doing band stretches. I'm doing all this time stuff that I don't get a chance to do during the week. And that is in itself an active day for me. So just keep that in mind. I hope that answers any of the extra questions about why we train 3 times a week and the benefits of training 3 times a week. And just like the rep range, like it's funny, because when you periodize something, and periodization basically just means planning, right? But if you plan something correctly, it's funny how every single scale, every single level matches up, right? So just down to the reps. If you are able to do 10 reps, you need to add weight and go harder. Just like if you are able to do 4 or 5 training sessions, you need to add weight and go harder, because that means that you're either a freak and you can recover with no time off, or you're not working to your highest potential in order to earn those days off. You know, we don't, that's a good way to think about it. We don't take days off. Yeah. We earn recovery days.
100%.
You know
what I mean?
As an athlete, you got to earn your recovery day, because we recover as athletes. We don't take days off. We earn that recovery. So that's one of the things that we wanted to cover today. I got a field goal, and then we're going to be done today. It's going to be a quick one. So I got three things. Again, field goal is three news articles that we are going to react to. Number one, a 10-year-old gets charged with assault after a dodgeball game at school. Isn't that crazy?
I would have gotten charged multiple different PE sessions.
Yes. But this is a crazy thing. A 10-year-old boy from Canton, Michigan, has been charged with aggravated assault after injuring another student in the schoolyard. Basically, the other student got a concussion from this, and then charges were brought. He got suspended from school. He did, not the other. So all this kid was doing was competing in a game that everyone was playing.
I was going to say, was this like
and
a,
he got suspended from school.
Was it recess? Like they were playing by themselves? Or was it PE?
I believe
something?
It was like recess. So they were playing dodgeball in the schoolyard during recess. Okay. So, but him and, you know, 20 others are all playing.
Yeah.
The kid is also. So then the kid got a concussion. The Bryce, the kid that threw the ball, the 10-year-old, got suspended. But he was the only one, not none of the other kids that were playing. It wasn't like they broke the rules to play dodgeball. That wasn't against the rules. They can play dodgeball, but the fact that he injured a person got him suspended. And then the student, though, it came out that they had a chronic brainstem infliction, meaning that they easily got concussions, right? So then in my mind, that student should not be participating in any contact sport, in my opinion. So, I mean, I don't really think that that's the kid's fault that's throwing a dodgeball.
It's like if you have, like, epilepsy.
If he did it with
epilepsy and you're going to a rave.
Right.
Like, you're not going to do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
But that's
if you get concussions very easily, I would advise not playing dodgeball.
Playing football.
Or
not playing
dodgeball. Or mean, anything that you're hitting your
unfortunately,
head
you just can't do those things.
Yeah.
And it's not the kid's fault that and I don't know the entire story. He may have gotten outside of the rules and slammed this kid's head into the cement, for all I know. But it doesn't sound like it from this article. Number two, report Vince Carter signs with the Hawks for a record-breaking 22nd season. Vince Carter is 43 years old and is playing in his 22nd NBA season. He'll break a tie with Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Garnett, Kevin Willis, and Robert Parrish. If he plays past January 26th, he would become the first 43-year-old to play since Willis in 2007, which is crazy. Good for him. He is a true athlete and continuing. You think he's lifting more than three times? You think he's working out more than three times a week? No.
No way.
Kidding me? He's probably doing three strength and conditioning sessions, and then he's probably doing five mobility sessions.
Each
week. He's just on that mobility game. And number three, this is really cool. So in light of everything that happened this past weekend with all of these shootings, obviously our heart goes out to everybody that was involved in that, and it's a terrible thing. But out of that comes this silver lining. 11-year-old El Paso boy starts El Paso Challenge to honor shooting victims. So this 11-year-old, hashtag El Paso Challenge in El Paso, Texas, was struggling with anxiety after the mass shooting of dozens of people in his hometown on Saturday. After discussion with his mom, he decided to create the hashtag El Paso Challenge to inject some kindness back into the community. And basically what this challenge is, and I absolutely love this, and I'm going to be participating in it as well, but it's basically doing a kind deed for 20 people. So this is the challenge. You know, you have ice bucket challenge. You have all these challenges. Doing this challenge really kind of is a great challenge, but it's basically doing 20 good deeds in your life. You know, make the world a better place. And this kid is, you know, he went viral with this, and it's awesome because this is the stuff that should go viral. If everybody does 20 nice things, you know, the world is going to be a much better place, and, you know, we can – we can do that one, you know, this is an actionable step. You know, I'm not going to get into all the politics of it and all of this kind of stuff, but this is something that an 11-year-old inspired that said, hey, be nice. Like, it's something we learn in kindergarten, in daycare before kindergarten, just be nice. And if you do 20 good deeds, it's going to be infectious, and you'll see how that affects and continues to go viral. If I'm nice to someone else, it always seems like they're nice to me back, and they're probably also nice to other people that they're reacting or they're interacting with. So that's kind of the challenge this week, along with you know, what we talked about with drive and identifying what that kind of goes. Do 20 things that are nice. And we don't have any bangers, I don't think, do we?
I do not.
Okay. So we don't have any bangers. So we'll lead you off with our normal music. We haven't done our normal music for a long time. But
be good to throw it in there.
Right. Yeah, we'll throw it in there every once in a while. But thank you guys so much for listening. Again, go do 20 nice things for anybody and everybody that you see. Remember, please like, share, subscribe, and review. If anybody's listening to this and you listen to on Stitcher or iTunes or whatever you're listening to, if you can go on, subscribe, and leave a review for us, that way this message can get to more people. That's really important for us. We don't make any money on this. We try to do this weekly for you guys. But if we can get that message to more people, that would be awesome. And just, you know, at the end of the day, remember, you're an athlete. Live like it.
You're born an athlete. You'll die an athlete. It's in your DNA.
We're an athlete.